Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and to bring you some good news in the morning. During the month of September, these programs are brought to you by Good News in the Morning and by the generous support of the Upper Room Home Furnishings, 2670 Cranesview Drive here in Ottawa. Thank you, Upper Room. You can check them out by going to our website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to talk to you about garbage margins. Before we do that, let's start the morning off with some great worship music by Keith Green, and his song is Walk and Talk from his Ministry Years, Volume 1. In high school, I used to play in a church hockey league. It was there that I developed my theology that the Spirit of God was everywhere present, except over the surface of ice in a hockey arena. Just kidding. But you have these really nice guys, Christian guys, who, if you met them anywhere, would be the nicest guys you could ever meet. But put a pair of hockey skates on them and a hockey stick in their hand, and they went ballistics. Now, the rules of the hockey league was no body contact. Now, I wasn't good enough as a hockey player to know, but other guys who played in a full contact league said this league was far worse. In a full contact league, you skate around, you're kind of expecting to get hit, and you're ready for it. In a non-contact league, you skate around expecting no contact. So when you get hit, you are unprepared and it shakes you right down to your skates. In a lot of ways, church life is just like living in a hockey rink. You come into Christian community with Jesus' words ringing in your ears, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. But then when you get underneath the surface of Christian community, you get hip-checked. Yet in spite of this, a spiritually mature person demonstrates love in the context of Christian community. And the question is how? How do you love people with rough edges? How do you love irregular people? How do you love people who are really different from you? How do you love people who do and say things that, well, they just grate on you? Well, in James chapter 3, verse 2, it says this, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." Or the King James Version says it this way, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able to bridle his whole body." Here's what the Word of God says. We all, you are included in that, I'm included in that, we all offend. The Word of God declares, if you hang around me long enough, and if I hang around you long enough, we're going to offend each other. We are all going to stumble in what we say. So we're skating around the community as if it's a non-contact sport when the Bible says you and I are going to get hit with an offense sooner or later. And if we're not ready for it, it can shake us right down to our boots. So what do you do about it? Well, let me introduce you to a new concept, a garbage margin. You put a garbage margin around people. The less you expect to be offended, the more likely you will be. But when you know that offenses are going to happen, it becomes no big deal. So that when someone says something offensive, you say, ah, that's coming out of the garbage margin. I've already built that into the expectation that it's going to happen. The Bible said that it would happen. It was expected. The Bible is true. Go figure. Let's go on. I've got a slogan that I've adopted. I was visiting someone and she made the comment, people say the stupidest things. That's biblical. We all offend. We all stumble. People say the stupidest things. Expect it. We all stumble. We're all going to offend. I've been known to say some stupid things. It's part of the human condition. Accept it. Move on. Now, if you use this sermon as a license to say stupid things, then you're a fool. But you can expect that sooner or later, everyone is going to say something offensive. People in community have a tendency to do one of two things if people say something that's offensive. They tend either to back away from the person or to confront the person. What I'm saying is that neither may be the appropriate response. Here's what the Bible says. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." The Bible says that it is to your glory to overlook an offense. It is to your glory to write things off to the garbage margin. It is to your glory to say, people say the stupidest things, that was one of them, and overlook it. There are times to confront when people's behavior is persistent and injustices are being done, but the first response to an offense is to overlook it. Now, as I look through the life of Jesus, there were a number of times when he offended people. Now, he was the one person who never said anything stupid, and yet he offended people. There are times when what he did and what he needed to do, he did it not to offend people. But there never was a time when he himself was offended over what was said about him personally. Now, there were two times when he actually was offended. The time he cleared out the temple, he was obviously offended over what was happening in the temple, and they made a house of prayer into a den of thieves. There was another time when Peter told him that he didn't have to die, and Jesus replied, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, an offense to me." And I want to come back to that situation in a while. But Jesus did not take offense about what was said about him. People called him a drunkard, a friend of sinners, a glutton. That's pretty offensive language. But he did not take an offense. You have the disciples being offended, his family being offended, the Pharisees were often offended, but Jesus was never offended. And he is our example. Let's consider that as we listen to the group a cappella in the song Only Truth from their album Set Me Free.
Every time you went away, no matter what you, huh? All you ever said before, no matter what it was the truth.
Yeah, I love it, truth.
Every time you spoke a word, the voice of God was being heard. I know it was true. It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. Only truth comes from you. It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. And it's all you can do. All you've ever done before, no matter what you've chosen, it was right.
You were always right.
Every time you will do it, everything you've had to say, I know it was right. It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. Only truth comes from you. It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. Then it's all you can do.
Only truth. Loving truth.
And it was the truth, ever loving truth. You are always right, all you do is real. Truth comes from you, and it's only you. Turning to the pages of the Bible of the ages, it was real.
All you do is real.
Everything you've written down, I will depend on being sound. I know it was real. It was your word. It was nothing but your word that inspired those men. It was your word. It was nothing but the word that will teach us again. All you ever said before, no matter what it was the truth.
Never loving truth.
Every time you spoke a word, the voice of God was being heard. I know it was true. It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. Only truth comes from you.
It was the truth.
It was nothing but the truth, and it's all that you can do.
Only truth. Loving truth.
From time to time, I run into people who are easily offended. They will even tell you that they're easily offended. Whenever you meet someone like that, you can tell a couple of things. One, there is a good chance that they are a very wounded person. Two, they haven't come to terms with the full reach of the cross of Christ. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for offense is stink or stench. Offense and sin are often used in parallel structure. Isaiah 59 says, "For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sin testifies against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities." Offense and sin, offense and iniquity, are used in the same way. Our sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. We have offended God with what we have said and what we have done. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all smell. We all stink. We're all offensive. But the story of the gospel is this, that Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. The gospel is this, that Jesus took our stench. He bore our offense. He took our sins upon himself. He, and now we were a stench in the nostrils of God, have been cleansed and purified and deodorized. In fact, the Bible says that we are God, to God, the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Instead of being an offense to God, instead of being a stench in the nostrils of God, we have become the aroma of Christ. We are not offensive. We smell beautiful. Now, when someone says or does something offensive, and you know that's going to happen, it stinks. But now, you know that you once stunk, and you know that Jesus took that stink upon himself. Now, when other people stink, you have a choice whether to embrace it and get smelly again, or to leave it for the one who can take care of the stench. In the New Testament, the word is translated for offense is a stumbling block or a scandalon. Remember when Jesus was offended by Peter, when Peter said he didn't have to die? Jesus said, "You're a stumbling block, a scandalon to me." Have you ever seen someone trying to trap a squirrel? The basic trap is set up. You have a box and you put one end of the box up on a stick. Then you tie the bait to that stick. The theory is that when the animal takes the bait, it moves a stick, which causes the box to fall, trapping the animal. The stick that holds up the box in Greek is called a skandalon. Jesus is saying, Peter, you are a trap to me. You are a baited trigger that wants to box me in and keep me from doing the will of my Father. Get behind me. In the New Testament, that is what a skandalon is. It is a trap. That is what an offense is. It is a trap. You are going to be offended. That is a given. If you choose to give a garbage margin, then you have just walked away from the trap. If you choose to forgive, then you have walked away from the trap. If you choose to leave the stench for the one who can deal with it, you have missed the trap. However, if you take the bait, if you take up the offense and own it as your own, I'm offended, then the trap falls. Let me describe to you what happens when a Christian takes up an offense. They normally harden their heart to that person that offended them, but it usually doesn't stop there. Proverbs 18:19 says, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. We wall ourselves in, and we only let people pass when we are really sure that they're not going to hurt us. Inside our walls, we brood and harboring the offense, whether real or perceived, and we start to produce unholy fruit. Anger, outrage, jealousy, resentment, strife, bitterness, hatred, and envy. And out of those things come insults and attack and woundings and division, separation, broken relationships, and betrayal. It's a trap. But the trap is camouflaged by our pride. We will be able to rationalize why taking up an offense is justified. The religious spirits, the worldly wisdom may even come along and pat you on the back saying, you should resent what was said about you. All the while you sit in your gilded trap, restrained. You will not bear good fruit. You will not know either peace or joy. But you have your offense and you nurse it. And if you have a church full of these kind of people, people who have been wounded, and they run into each other who have been wounded, then there are traps being sprung all over the place. No community happens because everyone is trapped inside their own fortresses. So what do you do when someone offends you? Garbage margin. Garbage margin. What do you do when people offend you? Forgive immediately. Remember David and King Saul? David was working for King Saul at the time. He was playing music for him. All of a sudden, King Saul, who was quite frankly losing it, got angry with David and hurled a spear at him. What did David do when King Saul threw a spear at him? He ducked. What do you do when people throw offensive spears at you? You duck. Let me map this out for you on a journey towards spiritual maturity. Spiritually newborn children sometimes get caught in the trap. They expect all Christians will never offend. Then they find out that all Christians will sometimes offend. It is often up to those of us who are further down the journey to encourage and help them to walk around the trap. The spiritually young adult, well, they learn to spot the traps. They see the offense and they walk the other way. They see an offense and they duck. They see an offense and they forgive. The spiritually mature person sees an offense and they walk away, duck, and forgive. But then they ask another question. Why was that so offensive to me? Why am I tempted to take the bait? Why is that trap so enticing? A spiritual mature person starts to ask those questions that will lead to significant insight into their own heart, discovering unsurrendered parts of their lives to Christ. Spiritually mature people use offenses to increase their spiritual vision. I want to speak to those of you who, while I've been speaking, know or strongly suspect that you've been caught in the trap. In fact, for some of you, picking up offenses is just a way of life. You first of all need to realize that you're living in a trap. You know most of us take up offenses by choice. But there are some who, through abuse or things like that, have offenses thrust upon us. But whether you took an offense up by choice or whether it was thrust upon you, you got wounded and you got trapped. To get out of the trap, you're going to have to forgive the person or people who offended you. Remember the cross. Jesus took our offenses upon himself. Will you stop holding on to the offenses of those around you? They are hurting you. They are trapping you. Will you give them to Jesus? He's the one who can handle them. That is the definition of forgiveness. I let go of all the offenses. I let go of my need to make them pay. I let go of letting their offenses dominate my thinking. I give them to Jesus. He can handle them. He can do what he likes with them. I want to see that offender in heaven. Forgiveness will get you out of the trap. If you've ever been wounded deeply, then you are probably going to need Jesus to lead you into a place of healing and restoration. Get out of the trap first, and then start seeking him for your healing, or to lead you to a place where you can be healed. Back to our hockey game. Life is a full contact sport. The Bible commands you to be gentle, but it also tells you to get ready for hits. The Bible tells you to be kind and tender-hearted, but you are going to get hip checked from time to time. So remember, garbage margin. You expect it. Duck. Don't pick up the spear. Don't take the bait. Allow God to show you your own heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are able to show us our own heart. I pray for those who are tempted to take an offense, and I ask that you would help them to walk around the trap. I pray for those who have been trapped and they have unforgiveness brewing in their heart and they've been offended all over the place and haven't been able to let it go. I pray as they come to you and say, Lord, I give those who offended me to you. I let their offenses go. I choose to forgive them. Lord, I pray that you would lead them out of the trap. And Lord, for those who have been deeply wounded by offenses, I pray for healing in their lives. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would speak deeply into who they are. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement and for keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. And as you probably know, the summer months are our financial struggle. If you can help, we would really appreciate it. You can give online by going to our website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, or you can mail in a check to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. If you go to our website, you can find all kinds of good things. Alan Churchill, the founding pastor of this ministry, is writing a monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insights and the ability to communicate the truth of God. If you would like to receive this devotional, then go to our website at goodnewsinthemorning.ca and sign up to start receiving it right into your email box. We know that God will bless you through this ministry. And once again, I want to express my thanks to the Upper Room Home Furnishings at 2670 Queensview Drive, Ottawa, for sponsoring today's program. It's made such a huge difference. It's been my pleasure to spend this morning with you. My name is Brent Russett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brent Russett, all one word. Now, may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. Let's listen to, as we go out to Starfield, in the song called Tumbling After.
I'm always sitting here just waiting for a revelation. Is it ever gonna come? All this searching in my destiny is still unfair. Makes me realize this world will always let me down. So it seems that the only hope I ever had was everything. Through the front I'd offer you, not believing my excuses, waiting for the truth. When you could have turned your back and walked away from me, you picked me up instead. So we'll turn another page and change the way I look at you, and maybe I'll
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.